lead us well. Tonight I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about prayer, and I want to talk about fasting. I want to talk about those things together. This is a truck backing up. Guess that sound. I want to read this, okay? This is from our church values. Passionate prayer. Prayer and the activation of His will is the heartbeat of our church. It is essential to everything we do, and we desire for it to be as natural and constant as breathing. We believe God is longing to engage everyone in prayer through listening, hearing, and speaking in conversation with Him. This is one of the privileges of being His. We have His ear, and we want to give ours as well. Through prayer, we access God's heart, and we activate His will here on earth. Oh, you guys had it too. Whoa, there it is. It's like the opening scene to Star Wars. We just needed to go off the page and some music to go with it. Maybe another time. Oh. Before I go any further, I just got to be honest with you guys. I don't really feel qualified for this message tonight. And I was trying to put it into words. And it's not that I feel discouraged. It's just that I feel like where I want to be in regards to these things is far from where I feel like I am right now. And, you know, if we were to pick someone to talk about prayer, I probably wouldn't nominate myself for that. And even in sharing with you guys tonight, I struggled in preparing this message between talking about how to pray and talking about getting to prayer, if that makes sense. Because there's a difference. You know, we can talk about how to pray, but I'm not sure that's where the problem is for most of us. I think the problem often is just getting to pray. It's actually finding ourselves in a place of just praying. And I think we're not the first ones to struggle with that. You know, the disciples, they came to Jesus because they saw something in the way that He prayed. And they asked Him, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They didn't say, "Teach us how to pray." They said, "Teach us to pray." And I think it's that same acknowledgement. We can talk about it, we can have the information, but often it's getting to it that's the hard part. And so I don't want to give you more information on prayer tonight, okay? We have the internet, Google. There are probably a million sermons. I mean, seriously, I feel like, you know, I could try my best to explain it. But one, it would be inadequate, and two, I'm not sure it's what we need more of. If you feel like you are lacking in the area of understanding how to pray, there are lots of good resources. One of the ones that I can think of is this book called Circle Maker, and it's by a guy named Mark Batterson. And you can look it up. I was first introduced to it by Susan. I think most of us were a few years ago. Thank you for that, Susan. And just a really a book full of vitality in prayer. And perhaps more along the lines of what the disciples were asking of Jesus. Teach us to pray. What does it look like? And so I'm not going to teach you how to pray tonight. I just know we need more of it. I know I need more of it. And I read this statement on passionate prayer because even though God has shaped us through prayer, I think we still have quite a ways to go. And I read this and I think to myself how easy it is to lose the passion in a prayer. I don't know about you, but I realize that for me, I've been tired in prayer to the point where it hasn't been happening very much. And that happens when you pray for things, and you pray for things, and you pray for things, and they don't seem to happen. It happens when you wait. Bless you. Sneeze on the truth. That's what we say. And you wait, and you just get tired of waiting. It happens when there are more things to pray for than there is energy to pray. And yet, there's this truth that has been stirring in me today, that this prayer is so vital to where God wants to take us, so vital to what He wants to do in and through us, so vital to everything He's called us to already. And one of the worst things we can do, besides giving up in prayer, and actually it often leads to giving up, is to think that our prayers don't matter. And I think that happens when we have done those things, we've pressed in, and it doesn't seem like that wall is moving, that prayer is being heard, that breakthrough is coming. You know, we tend to think something about God that affects our prayer life in a negative way. And it's this thought that He doesn't really need our prayers because He is who He is. You know what I mean by that? You are who you are, God, which is you're all powerful, you're omniscient, you're all those omni words, you're everything, you're everywhere. You're able to do whatever you want, the impossible. And so I'm tired, so why should I pray? And yet, it matters. It really does. And all we have to do is go back to the last prayer that we saw answered to realize it matters. Somebody said that perhaps the things we pray into actually coming to fruition more because of our prayers, perhaps those things are coincidences. Sometimes it's hard to tell, isn't it? You prayed for the thing, it happened. You're like, was it the prayer or was it going to happen anyway? But he said, all I know is when I pray, the coincidences happen more often. Don't they? And when Jesus answered them, when they asked Him that question, when they made that petition, teach us to pray, one of the things He said was, pray this way, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That tells us right there that our prayers matter. That tells us that prayer is the realm where change begins. And so, if you're tired, if you're discouraged in prayer, if you've given up on it, there's a prayer for that too. It's Jesus, help us. We need you in this. And you know, in this series on the spiritual disciplines, one of the prayers of mine that I feel like he's answering is just this prayer that, God, I don't want to teach you guys in this time. What I want is to receive again these things for myself. Maybe that sounds selfish. But that's what I want, and that's what I've been asking for. Not to come with some information about prayer, but to acknowledge that I need to discover again what it means to have the vitality of prayer in my day-to-day. Because, you know what? The discouragement won't go away when you stop praying. Do you realize that? In fact, it'll probably grow, because if your prayer matters, then the things that you were praying for, that you've been discouraged by the lack of breakthrough in, they probably aren't going to change. I don't know a more positive way to twist that, but just flip it and realize that, conversely, God can help us through the disappointment so that we can push through to a place of believing again, having confidence again, having energy and strength again to pray into those things and say, God, they can change, and I know that you want them to change, and I know this is so vital in that. That's where I want to be. Because the prayers, the things that need our prayers, they're not becoming fewer. I just want to read this quote from Circle Maker. He says, prayers are prophecies. They're the best predictors of your spiritual future. Who you become is determined by how you pray. Ultimately, the transcript of your prayers becomes the script of your life. He says, the greatest tragedy in life is the prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked. So that's the point one. Prayer matters, and we need more of it. And even if we're tired, even if we're discouraged, there's a prayer for that. And so God, help us to pray. Help us to rediscover our passion in prayer. Help us to rediscover the power in prayer. Help us to rediscover who we're praying to. I love that song we were singing tonight, because it's this powerful reminder that Jesus is the one that makes a difference. And prayer is communing with him and talking to him and listening for him. And that makes a difference as well. When we talk about prayer, there's this other piece. As if prayer weren't difficult enough, let's add to it getting rid of all the delicious stuff that we eat. It's called fasting. Oh boy. This is where it gets fun. This is where it gets exciting. Fasting. These two things go together. In fact, you don't really hear about fasting without prayer. Fasting in prayer. Fasting to pray. That's how you see it in Scripture. And these two things go hand in hand. You can pray without fasting, but there's something about fasting that, in fact, quickens us in prayer. Sensitizes us in prayer. Makes us more able to focus and listen and commune. All the things that prayer is about. But then again, if prayer is difficult, which it is, even getting to it, what about fasting? I think if we took a poll and we picked one or the other, fasting would probably be the more difficult. Because in some ways it's prayer to another level. And again, it requires giving up delicious food. That's the biblical definition of fasting, in case you're wondering. If you look at fasting in Scripture, it's pretty much always linked to, not always, but almost always linked to, abstaining from food and or drink for a specific amount of time and for a specific purpose. I want to read a few things about prayer and fasting from Scripture, and so I'm going to kind of back up a little bit on this one. It's this is kind of going back to our prayer mattering. Anyway, it's Daniel chapter 10. This is a really bizarre passage in some ways, so that's my introduction to it. I think this is one of those passages that shows us an insight and at the same time doesn't fully explain it for us. And so I'm not going to attempt to fully explain it, but I am going to attempt to kind of give us what is that glimpse into the insight here. So in Daniel 10, there's this summary of, I'll give you a summary of it, but Daniel, it says that in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, there was this revelation that was given to Daniel, a vision. And it says the understanding of the message came in a vision. And then it kind of jumps in. It is kind of weird how it reads here. But all of a sudden, Daniel's talking. He says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all. That's the only time I have read about fasting lotions in the Bible. So I don't have an explanation for that one. And most of you might not even use lotion, so we'll worry about that later. Until three weeks were over, okay? So that's called a fast, a three-week fast for Daniel, okay? And it was because something was troubling him. And if we fast forward in this, okay, so the middle part is the vision itself, and I'm not going to go into that. But in verse 12, this is what it says. It says, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them. Say, in response to them. Okay, I'll read this part. It's weird. It says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. How long was Daniel's fast? 3 weeks, 21 days. It says, then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia doing what? I don't know why, how, all of that. It says, but now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. So Daniel fasts because he's trying to gain some insight here, and he wants to hear from the Lord, and he's looking for him to speak into the situation that's happening with his people. So he begins to fast, and he begins to pray, and 21 days later, this happens. And the insight here that I think is so powerful is first that it says, as soon as he began to pray, as soon as he humbled himself before God, his words were heard. Fasting and prayer were that humbling himself before God. One of the things, in fact, that fasting does is it actually makes us more aware of who we really rely on. That man can't live on bread alone. And when the bread is taken away and that's all you're thinking about, you might get reminded of that. Seriously. Giving up bread, oof. I did a Daniel fast one time. That was the thing I missed the most. The bread. The fasting and the prayer are a means of humbling ourselves before God. Recognizing our reliance on Him. Especially the fasting. It really takes us into that place because it doesn't take us very long before we start to realize how weak we are. How much we rely on something like food to sustain us, and even more than we actually need. The other thing from this passage that I think is so powerful is not only does he say that your words were heard from the beginning, he says, I've come in response to your prayer. Think about that, the delay there. Often, that's the reality of our prayer life. If only we knew from the get-go that our prayers were heard and they were in the process of being answered, how would that change our pursuit in prayer? I think this actually shows us that our prayers are being heard. And oftentimes there's something happening beyond what we can see by which God is answering those prayers. Even before we know it, before we're aware of it, before it comes to pass. But that middle time is difficult, isn't it? That's the place where we want to give up. That's the place where we begin to doubt, does this matter? Is it important? Is God even listening? All of those things. And I think there's something about even fasting to encourage us in that, actually. To encourage us in prayer, to keep going, to keep praying. That's all I got for this one, okay? But, you know, I love that passage, too, because it shows us that our prayers matter. And it shows us that God is doing something about them. I want to read this other passage. It's in Isaiah 58. And when we talk about fasting, there are right ways to do it, and there are wrong ways. I'm just going to read this, and I think there are some things here from Isaiah 58. To encourage us on how not to fast and how to fast. Isaiah 58. We're going to read verse 1 through 9, so bear with me. It says, "Shout it aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins." Not starting off too well. This is the Lord speaking to Isaiah. "For day after day they seek me out, they seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and you exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Or is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and your cry for help. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" Oh, okay, Jesus, help us with this one. Help me with this one. Can you pray that with me? Help us with this one. I think there's some really good things here, and I want them to come out. Wow, this is a powerful passage for so many reasons. One, I think at the core of it is God calling his people to know his heart. When he talks about this kind of fasting that I have chosen, he's actually speaking the very words that are central to God's heart. Loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of yoke, set the oppressed free, break every yoke. It sounds like Isaiah 61 that comes a little bit later, which is the very words of Jesus that he speaks, and he says, "This is fulfilled in your hearing." It's the mission statement of God. It's his purpose. It's his heart. And he says, "This is the kind of fasting that I'm looking for." And I don't think he's talking to them about changing what they do in terms of getting rid of fasting as they knew it. But in fact, he's saying there's a disconnect between what you're doing and what it's leading to. Because your fast is meant to bring you closer to the heart of God. It's meant to bring you to understanding better what he's like and what he cares for, so that you can embody those things. And so there's this really practical purpose to fasting that if we haven't done it, I think we're actually missing out on. I know it's not easy, it's not fun, maybe you don't even know where to begin, okay? We'll spend some more time on that, all right? But tonight I just want to talk about this place of, actually, there's a place of knowing God's heart better that that fasting allows us to access, or it's supposed to at least. For these people, that's not what was happening, because it became something else for them. It became a ritual. Probably for us, our problem isn't along those lines. It's probably more seeing a reason why we should even do it in the first place. If you have done it on a regular basis, if you have incorporated into your disciplines, then you might have the other struggle. But for most of us, it's probably realizing that there's even a significance and importance to doing it in the first place. Why would I put myself through that kind of pain? 5 minutes, much less 3 days, or however long. I think that this passage shows us that at its core, fasting gives us means of accessing better God's heart. And it does it by perhaps clearing up the clutter so that we can see what's always been there. Allowing us to be sensitive to who He is, to what He cares about. And yet there's the potential that you could do it and not find that. But I think God is saying, He doesn't say, stop fasting. He says, this is why you should be fasting. This is what your fast should be. It should be this. And in fact, it should lead to your life on the outside being different. And for them, it wasn't. There's something really powerful there. And I want us to focus on that. I think that there are breakthroughs that perhaps we're not seeing because we haven't been willing to go this far with Him. I'll just speak from experience, okay? Fasting has been important for me. And I can say from experience, it has made a deep difference. It's hard to say exactly how. But I know that there have been times of breakthrough that have only come, that have come in deeper ways because of actually fasting. And it's helped me to focus in prayer. Now, I love food. Those of you who know me, you know that. And I'll also say that I feel like I kind of got in this routine where I was losing the heart of why I was doing it. And so I stopped for a while. But you know what? I'm excited. I'm excited to be there again. It's weird to say. I'm excited to be there again because there was something in God's heart for us to access in that place. What if we really took it to heart? What if we really said, I want to do this? What if we said, I'm not going to give up after the first time of trying, if it doesn't seem to work, if it doesn't seem to have an effect, if I don't see the breakthrough? What if together we began to move in this way of prayer and fasting, actually looking forward to those things? Like Vincent said, there being happiness in that place, oddly enough, because we are getting to feast on Him. That's what a fast is supposed to be for the believer, is feasting on the Lord, not just giving up food. So when you fast, okay, if you're just giving up food, you're not really fasting. It is meant to be a feast on Him, a feast on His presence, a feast where you're hearing His heart for you. You guys with me? Okay. A lot of the things that God says of the people, I think if you reverse them, you see God's true heart in fasting. It says that they seem eager to know my ways. As if they want to do what's right. They seem eager for God to come near to them. I think actually those are all things that God wants for you. And they're attainable in fasting. But the fact of the matter is here, that's not what they were after. So if we flip it, there's a place of knowing his ways better that I think fasting gives us access to. There's a place of seeing God come near to you that fasting gives you access to. There's a place of knowing what he cares about that fasting gives you access to. Okay. I love the promise at the end of it, right? He says, in realigning your heart with my heart in this matter, and letting your fast be actually what it's meant to be, this communion with me where you leave change from it, not this day that you set aside and this ritual that you set aside, thinking that it's the day or the ritual itself that does anything. But when you actually connect with my heart and you begin to walk in my ways, he says, your light will break forth and your healing will quickly appear and your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. He says, then you will call and the Lord will answer. That's his promise. He says, you will cry for help and he will say, here I am. Do you hear the Father's heart saying, I want to answer. I want to reveal myself. I'm going to leave some of the details of this for later, okay? So I apologize if I'm not getting more practical this evening, okay? I'm going to work on some practical tips for fasting so that you guys can have those, all right? And we'll make that available. But for now, I want us to pray. I just want us to pray together. Before we pray, I want you to write down five things, okay? Short things. These are some things that I think will give some direction for us in prayer and perhaps bring us into being more rejuvenated in prayer, and things that as we pray into them can perhaps become focuses in our time with the Lord and even in fasting. We have been talking about dreams recently, and I really believe that there is this correspondence between our dreams and our prayers. Meaning, the dreams that we have, we've been saying that God wants to, in fact, take those dreams and expand on them. You know where that happens? It happens in prayer. So, we need to be willing to actually take our dreams before him in prayer. And so the things I want you to write down, along those lines, along the lines of our dreams, what we desire to see that isn't already yet, okay? What is one thing in your life that you desire to see happen or change? One thing in this church, one thing in this city, one thing in our country, and one thing in our world. I want us all to begin to consider that if we haven't already, and to begin to put something down, one thing perhaps at the forefront. Maybe you have a list, but at least one thing. I was really encouraged and stirred this week by a testimony along those lines of some things that God had been doing in answer to prayer in other places. And it reminded me that I hadn't been asking that way for quite a while. I hadn't been believing God for similar things. And so the thought of why isn't that happening here or in my life? Why are we not seeing it? The answer felt like it was pretty clear. So I think that there is something here where if we begin to press into this, we begin to seek God in these things, we're going to begin to see some powerful breakthrough. Let's pray.